This is Will's Band of the Week for December 18th, 2016. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Anurag from the Ontario Bureau.
The cold Ontario Bureau with 4 feet of snow outside. Hello, yeah. Everyone.
It's cold. It's cold up there. And Nicholas from the much warmer Melbourne Bureau.
I am still wearing a woolen beanie, but yes, it is sunny and zero snow.
Yeah. What is the temperature, and you need to convert it to Fahrenheit for us?
Oh man, you
American.
It's probably going to be about. I don't know how to convert.
Oh, just go ahead with
it. Can't convert to what I do.
Go ahead with the Celsius.
What's the centigrade there?
Yeah,
it's probably going to be at the moment. It's 11 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
Okay.
Who's good at?
Let's see.
I think it's
about
it?
That's about 50 Fahrenheit, right?
Yeah, that's like 50-55.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Google.
Okay. And it's a cool morning, right?
It's cool, yeah. It's about 7 o'clock on Sunday morning here, so it's kinda coolish and it'll warm up, but it's a little bit chilly.
52. Well, it's 52.
Okay. 52. Do this convert Anurag, since you seem to have that in front of you, I need you to convert 25 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. Convert that to the Celsius. Can you do that?
Yes, we can. And Google says it is minus 31. Really? It's minus 31 over there?
Well, that's the forecast for the wind chill overnight the next couple of nights.
Wow, that's cold.
Yeah, that's pretty cold.
That is cold.
So, yeah.
Wow. Is that what it's going to be like in Madison?
Right.
Will,
yep.
Is that how cold it is?
Right. The next two...
Minus 31 Celsius.
The next two nights, the
minus
wind chill.
Minus 31 Celsius? I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's cold.
All right. Over here right now, it's about minus 10 Celsius, which is kind of okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was very cold. It did go down to minus 25, but minus 31, holy crap.
Okay, so everyone can, all over the world, everyone can be doing their calculations. So the other cool thing is it's basically 2 o'clock in the afternoon here, and it's 3 in the afternoon where Anurag is, and it's 7 in the morning where Nicholas is. So we are just totally, this is just as international as it gets, right?
Yeah, so I think it kind of all balances out. Like, it's not as cold here, but it's first thing in the morning. Whereas you guys, you know, you've warmed up, you've had a part of the day, you've probably had some lunch, maybe I don't know, what did you guys have for lunch? Sandwiches?
Well, we had the family out. We got our holiday tree, and then we went to an Asian restaurant, and I ate too much of a spicy Sichuan recipe, it was called.
Ooh.
Spicy?
Yeah.
Ooh. Anurag, what did you have for lunch?
I had a stir fry that I made.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys had nice lunches.
Yeah.
Yep. We had to go out to do a lot of shoveling because when the trucks come by, they plow all the snow on the driveway.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't pull the car out, so you got to shovel it away. I don't have a snow blower, so... I want a nice heavy lunch to do that.
See, now that's a classic. That's one of these, like, if you live in our climate, that's just a classic experience you have that Nicholas never gets to do. It snows and you clear all the snow out, and then the snowplow comes down the street and makes a great big snowbank in front of your driveway, and then it gives you another, you have to go back out and clear it out, or your car can't get out.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Problems you don't have.
So what did you have for lunch? Oh, you didn't have lunch yet. You just
I haven't had lunch. I had 3 pieces of toast, and I'm halfway through my cup of coffee.
All right.
Cool.
So you're going to be. Yeah. Oh, speaking of coffee, I think for our, for the photo for this episode, we should put up that picture of you, Nicholas, with wearing the Indie Coffee shirt. That's cool.
Sure. I mean, whatever's going to increase sales.
Right. I mean, if we have that picture up there, it'll go viral, right? Everybody will be like, look at that cool guy, right?
Or it could go down.
It could, yeah, that could happen too.
Well, that's right, Anurag. You never know. Yeah. Either way, I was 50-50 chance.
All right, so we're here for another in a series of year-end podcasts that are just so darn fun, right? Aren't they fun?
Absolutely.
It is good fun to try to put this list together. I feel like I make it harder for myself every year. I go through such torment.
Yeah.
To try to get it right.
Well, we all take great care because, you know, we know how valuable our opinions are, and you know, you got to get it exactly correct. Before we get to the fun countdown, we've got just a little bit of a report here from Appleton.
Hey there, this is your AA Appleton correspondent checking in. You know, I really appreciate the bus ticket and all, but I wish somebody had informed me that baseball season doesn't start for another 3 months, so I'm kind of at loose ends here in Appleton. I've been spending a lot of time in the Copper Rock Coffee Company, and they've been really nice. I mean, shout out to Copper Rock. They don't make me order too many times during the day, and, you know, sleeping in the bus station isn't so bad. But it's going to be a long 3 months till pitchers and catchers report here. And I'm spending the time, you know, investigating new bands. I've got three new bands for you guys to check out that I don't believe you've covered before. So I'll be sending in notes on those and just trying to get through the winter here in Northeast Wisconsin. And it's pretty rough. Talk to you later.
So that's kind of what it was like for you guys, right, before you became full-time correspondents.
It's true. I lived in a cardboard box before I got the job on the podcast, and now I've got a house.
Yeah, well, it's because you've made it now, you know. Yeah.
Because I've made it.
You gotta pay your dues. So, all right, I'm looking at these lists. They're really fun. Yeah.
Oh, it's great that David is on board now. He's sort of like just... I feel like it's great that the number of correspondents is expanding, and I reckon David he's like the man. He's like the man in New York. He's our New York man.
Yeah, yeah.
And isn't it? I think he feels like, you know, just the right. He's got just the right attitude. You know, you don't want some really cool kind of New York hipster.
Right.
It just wouldn't sit right. But it's like, hey, this David sounds like, yep, he's sort of guy we could all sit around, you know, eating toast with.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, have you ever noticed, like, some podcasts that you listen to, they're just too polished, whether it's the production or just, like, the way that they enunciate. Like, I've listened to a couple from Los Angeles, and there's, like, this whole showbiz thing if somebody's in L.A., right? Like, I think it was a Rolling Stone one. It's just, like, there's something just a little bit off about it.
I really like the NPR podcasts, but even those, they cater to an audience that really wants to, you know, listen to these people describe their songs and describe their albums in such eloquent words. It's just amazing.
Right.
But yeah, you want to listen to somebody say, oh yeah, the album's very good. Yeah, it's very good.
Right. Yeah, that's my level. Yeah. So I think these LA people, they, you know, deep down they're aspiring to be cool like us, but they just can't quite get there. So there's a little facade there, right?
Yeah, but Nicholas has a good turn of words. What's a famous one that we all keep repeating?
Challenging but not confrontational. Yeah.
Confrontational, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to keep repeating that one. All right, these top 10 lists are just begging to be addressed, right? So let's go to it.
Absolutely.
Anurag, what's the 10th best album of 2016, according to you?
The 10th best album, according to me, is an album called Black Teddy Cat. This is by Xenia Rubinos. And the song I've chosen is Just Like I, even though the showcase is Mexican Chef. And I really like this album because it's, first of all, the lyrics are just amazing in this album. They're just lots of, and they're all encased in these amazing hooks, which I really, really like. And so go ahead, Just Like I.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Xenia Rubinos, the album Black Terry yes. Cat. That's Anurag's number 10. So
yeah, I really like the lyric on this. Like she says, "Just like I love, I'll kill." I just love that turn of phrase. Love it.
It, you know, it has a sound kind of like Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down that you liked. It reminded me of that a little bit.
Oh yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I
and she's a bass player primarily, so I think she's right up your alley.
Okay, well that's cool then. Yeah. So where's she from?
Oh goodness, I have no clue.
Okay, you've got to do some music journalism.
You want me to do good journalism here?
No, it doesn't matter. All that matters is the music.
She was born in Connecticut, U.S., but I don't know where she is now.
So that's a good accomplishment to come up with something that that we haven't heard of before, which Nicholas is going to immediately match with his number 10.
Ooh. Well, hey, I just wanted to quickly ask you, Anurag, where you heard Xenia Rubinos, because when I actually listened to your top 10 last night as I was sitting at the kitchen table wrapping Christmas presents, which was fun. So your top 10 was my soundtrack last night, just to get me into your vibe. And when I looked up this song, the album cover was familiar, so I must have looked it up at some point for some reason. Where did you hear about her?
I honestly don't know, but I do go through a lot of blogs and, you know, keep looking here and there. And I think NPR was pushing this album quite a lot, so I must have picked it up from there.
Yeah, she might have been featured on Song Exploder or something like that.
Possibly,
that's a podcast that Chris has recommended. But yeah, it was cool. Anyway, to my number 10. So here's an artist who I've loved for the last, particularly the last sort of over the last 12 months, and he put out a new album this year. I'm talking about Brant Bjork. Now, I first got into Brant Bjork because he was, years back, he was, he's probably most famous because he was the original drummer in the band Caius. And Caius was sort of one of the original stoner rock bands from the 90s. And the main guy from Caius went on to form, Josh Homme is the guy that formed Queens of the Stone Age. Now, I'm not really a Queens of the Stone Age fan, but I love a lot of stoner rock bands, including Fu Manchu. And Brant Bjork used to play drums in Fu Manchu. Anyway, he now does his own stuff. He sings and plays guitar. And he's got this new album out this year called Tao of the Devil. And if you love guitars, if you love heavy drums, if you love your stoner rock, this is it's got some great tracks. So let's have a bit of a taste of Brant Bjork and a track called Biker Number 2. Let's jam.
Good.
Brant Bjork. Yep, he's I did some music journalism while that was playing, and I determined that he has long hair and a beard. and he is from somewhere in California. None of that all seems surprising, yeah. Does it?
No, nah, he's, you know, out from out in the desert where Stoner Rock was born. I don't know if I really know if I really like the term sort of stoner rock, because it just sort of makes it sound like you can only listen to this music if you smoke marijuana, which isn't true. I'm more into just the heaviness of the jams. You know, he's obviously there's some great Jimi Hendrix kind of influence in there. And when I first started listening to his albums, I was sort of thinking, oh, yeah, this is probably the kind of artist that I'll listen to a little bit and move on from. But he's kept me going. So it's been great to have a new album from him this year. Yeah, so Brant Bjork, check him out if you like that kind of vibe.
Great.
That's, I definitely will. Yep.
That's rock and roll for sure. Yep. All right. Anurag, number nine.
Number nine is Ashley Shadows. This we discussed in an earlier podcast, so I won't really go into much details. Just to say that an amazing vocals and an all-around perfect first album.
Yeah, that was a good one. Very good pick. And yeah. Self-titled album. And what track are we going to play?
Tired.
Ashley Shadow, Anurag's number nine. And her name's Ashley Weber.
Yep.
And you told us about this before. She's got a twin sister, right?
Amber Weber.
Who's also a musician.
And they're heavy into the Vancouver music scene. So the band she's played, Pink Mountaintops. Actually, Nicholas, you might like that. If you like your number 10, so the sound is quite similar.
Pink Mountaintops.
Yeah, you should try it.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah, that was a top Anurag pick like maybe 3 years ago or something. I think I remember you had them at the top of your list. Yep. Yeah, yep. Very good. Yeah, that was definitely a good one. Speaking of good ones.
She's from Vancouver?
Yep.
Yeah, they're based in Vancouver. Right.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah.
So Anurag's got to get some Canadian bands in on his list. And I didn't really.
Oh,
let's see. We've got. Well, there's at least one very obvious one coming up. All right.
Yep.
Nicholas.
Yeah, that new Bryan Adams album was really good one.
Yeah. Well, I know.
Yes, he's a god here.
And of course,
he's a god here too.
Nicholas is also going to give us some Melbourne artists too, aren't you, Nicholas?
It's true. Number nine is band who have become sort of we'd probably call them indie rock darlings. Camp Cope is the band I'm talking about, who we did feature on the podcast a few months ago. And, as I was putting together this list, I was like, how patriotic am I? You know, is it my responsibility to have some Australian artists in there? And, as I was putting together my list, I was basically thinking of albums that I listened to, more than a couple of times. albums that sort of have formed the soundtrack of my year. So earlier in the year, I felt like I was always in my kitchen cleaning up at the end of the night, getting all my my clothes ready for the day at work the next morning. And this was an album that I was often listening to as I was doing those domestic chores, and it all helps get you through. So Camp Cope's self-titled album was great, and lots of people here in Melbourne loved it too. So let's have a little taste with a track called Flesh and Electricity.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked that one. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want your indie rock to sound like indie rock, and that's
yeah,
okay.
It does, doesn't it? It kind of has prominent bass too, right?
Yeah, I think we were kind of like breaking it down a little bit in the episode where we listened to the whole album, and I think it's that the guitar in some ways is just kind of basically strumming chords and sort of like just holding down a really kind of solid rhythm. And then the bass is sort of doing these little melodies on the higher strings on the bass. So they've almost kind of like swapped roles within within the band. And yeah, I reckon it's kind of makes it a cool flavor. And there's something, it's got a very Melbourne sound to it. So when I listen to it, it's a very kind of familiar sound. And it's almost like there's some sort of emotional quality that sort of matches my experience of Melbourne. And as I'm talking to you, I'm looking at a clip of them playing live on YouTube. And, it's all very, if you want a sense of Melbourne indie rock, Camp Cope's a good example, I suppose. Yeah, I don't really know what I'm talking about, but we liked it here in Melbourne, so check it out.
Yeah, good one. All right.
Yeah, that was a good sound.
Now for Anurag's number 8... I think Anurag noticed an absence.
Very controversial pick, right?
He's going to fill in an absence from the other lists. Yep.
Yes. So my number 8 is Bon Iver. The album is 22 a Million. I did listen to you guys discuss this on your year-end podcast, and I was very upset with all of you, but hey, that happens all the time, right?
Right.
So yeah, so it's a very, very different album from what he's produced. Yeah, the first couple of listens, I was like, what is this shit? This is really nonsense. He's using autotune in his... He's got such a good voice, and he's using autotune.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. But for some reason, the album slowly just gripped me, and it was just such a beautiful... And the lyrics are just amazing as usual. And I didn't like his second album. I forget what the name is. It was really weird with orchestra and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this he's taken in a completely different direction. And maybe that's why it's just kind of stuck with me. I mean, there are one or two songs that are awful in this album. but it's got enough power to push it to number 8 on my list. The song we'll play is 8 in parentheses, Circle. How can you not love that?
I don't think I ever got to it because there was too much auto-tune and vocal processing. But that song, you know, there's a lot of reverb, but because his voice comes through really well.
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah.
I think that if
my number 8.
I think if I actually gave it the time and allowed myself an open mind and just got immersed in it, I might actually have liked that album. So I'm glad you picked that too. And plus, you know, the Wisconsin guy, then he gets in there. So that's cool. Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Good one, Anurag. You persisted where others fell away.
Exactly. And even in some of the podcasts that I mentioned earlier, even in amongst those people too, there's no consensus. Like some hate it, some love it. So
yeah,
I'm in the love it camp.
Yep. All right.
That's good. So we're up to number 8, and I don't know about you guys, but I kind of felt like it was probably actually the lower positions in the top 10 that were actually the hardest to fill, because for me it was like, oh yeah, number 1's going to be easy, and then I'll put this one and this one and this one. And then there was always this kind of like bunch of albums that I kind of liked, or I liked a while ago and didn't like so much anymore, or maybe this artist, maybe that one, or do I put this one in, or if I don't put that one in. You know, it was always those last couple of positions that are really hard to fill.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe at some point we can mention other artists worth mentioning. But I feel like we're past number 10, we're past number 9, we're into number 8. We're kind of like we've hit the highway. You know, we're out of the suburbs. We're starting to put the foot down on the gas. Starting to pick up a little speed.
Yeah.
And I think this next band's probably a good band to like pick up the pace a little bit. And I think this is maybe the only artist who is also was on your top 10, Will.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I definitely have you guys on the podcast to thank for introducing me to this band. The band is Omni, and their album was called Deluxe. And we're going to get to a track. And the band that I thought they sounded incredibly a lot like is Television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how familiar you are with Television, but I love Television. I guess they're kind of a band that you often hear lots of other bands kind of talking about. They're sort of one of these bands that, you know, your favorite band was probably into at one point. Anyway, I love the guitar work in this album, in this band particularly, and it kind of really reminded me of the sort of rawness, but it's kind of like a raw dexterity, we'll call it, in the playing. And it's great album. Let's have hear a track called Plane by Omni.
Somni, the album is deluxe. Good to see it made Nicholas's list at number 8.
Yep. Now we've talked about like how good it is to like look up any of these bands on the internet so you can get a sense of what they look like, what their vibe is. There's this great live clip of them. It says Omni live at the Foundry, Dallas, Texas, in August this year. And it looks like it's sort of filmed in a beer garden of some pub. So, so I've got these guys on my, in my top 10. Will, you had them in your top 10. Mm-hmm. At this gig, I reckon there are 12 people watching this band play. and that's it, and some of the girls look like they're more interested in their cup of beer than these great indie rockers on stage. So I say all those people drinking beer can go get stuffed. They're missing out on these awesome players on stage. Some people are into them, but it just kind of like sometimes puts these bands into perspective and sometimes a little bit too much perspective. But Omni, we love you and we love your album.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Cool. Yep. That's kind of the nature of indie rock sometimes, isn't it? Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Anurag, we're up to number 7.
Number 7. My number 7 is Agnes Obel. Her album Citizen of Class, and I've been following her career. I'm not like stalking, but following her career, and she's released these albums which are the kinds that I like really, really minimal sound, no big production, nothing like that. It's always been very good. In this album, she's gone a little heavier than usual, but overall the sound that she's produced has just been amazing. It's just been outstanding. Like there's this trick that she did. There's a song called Familiar on this album. We're not going to play that today though. And she's kind of adjusted her voice so that she kind of sounds like a man singing. But it works. It's so good. But the song that we're going to play is called Golden Green. And it's an amazing song as well.
My soul with fire.
Agnes Obel. Another one that I had not heard of before. And my music journalism has revealed that she's originally from Copenhagen, Denmark, but has lived in Berlin for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, very cool.
You should try her previous albums, too. They're really, really low-key, but like the instruments that she used on this album, she's picked up something called Tritonium. I don't know what that is, but it's like a synthesizer. It's from the 1920s. That's what she's used. So it's, the sounds that she's produced are really, really fun to listen to. So highly recommend it.
All right. This year's album is called...
Anurag.
Yep.
Sorry. I'll only apologize once, Will, for talking over the top of you, but you must be used to it with me by now.
Yeah, totally.
Anurag, you had a couple of albums on your top 10 that I... When I heard the tracks, I was like, oh, yeah, wow, I've got to check out this whole album. So this was one of them, of Agnes Obel. I was like, oh, yeah, I really like the sound of this. So
It is.
Thank you for introducing me, and hopefully you've introduced some other listeners too. They liked it.
It's called Citizen of Class. No, wait a minute. It's called Citizen of Glass. Yeah. So check
Glass.
It out.
Oh, sorry, Glass. Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, Glass. All right, Nicholas, what is number 7? And I'm looking at it, so I know what it's going to be, but I'm still asking you because you can reveal it to the listeners. But I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I'm glad he picked this.
Mate, well, look, we're just going to get back into the indie rock that sounds like indie rock, and we're just going to plow right in. And this is a great example of an awesome band who, you know, during their first band meeting, they were all sitting around and they said, hey guys, we're gonna make this great indie rock band. You can play drums, you can play bass. Hey, but look, we've got to come up with a great band name. What should we call ourselves? And they all looked around the little bedroom that they were playing in, looking for inspiration. There was something on the wall. There was something on the ceiling. And then one of them pointed to the bed and said, hey, guys, let's call ourselves Quilt.
Yeah, and it stuck.
And they all looked at each other and said, yes.
Yep.
And no matter how many times people said, you know, you guys should really change your name, they didn't. And that's okay, because they made a great album this year called Plaza. And again, this was definitely a soundtrack to my year. Often one of my jobs, I'm in an office, and I need some happy vibes to keep that admin, you know, duties ticking away. And this was a great album to listen to. So their music, I reckon, is actually kind of surprising in that you might listen to it once and just think, oh yeah, it's kind of indie rock and whatever, but I kind of feel like there's actually quite a lot going on, and I think there's a strong, I feel like there's a strong kind of Beatles influence or Beatles vibe happening, in that there's just some really kind of beautiful instrumentation and sort of things that are happening within the sounds that aren't your average kind of indie rock sound. So I really like that in there, sort of male and female vocals, and it's also just lots of fun as well. So let's hear a track called Passerby.
Thank you.
Nice. I've already got three albums from your list that I'm definitely going to go back to.
Yeah, Quilt, that's a good one, awesome. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
I don't know what else to say. I was thinking, is now a good time to mention, like, you know, those artists who didn't quite make our lists?
Maybe sure.
Just do it anyway.
Yeah, let's do it.
Listening to the top tens of yours, Will and Barrett and Chris, Japanese Breakfast. I think it featured on a couple of your lists, wasn't it?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah, Barrett and I both had it on our lists. Yep.
Yeah, I really liked that album too. I think that kind of came out early in the year, so I think you're always at a slight disadvantage when your album comes out early in the year, because it's harder to remember, isn't it, when you get to the end of the year and you're trying to think back. It's probably the more recent albums that have tickled your fancy that end up on your list. But really like Japanese Breakfast's album. I don't know about you, Anurag. Did you have other artists who you were like considering and they almost kind of got in, they almost didn't?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. We've done this exercise 4 or 5 times now, so I'm kind of used to it.
any that deserve an honorable mention?
Well, there's always Heinz.
Right.
Barrett, I like them quite a bit. Yeah.
Barrett had that.
They didn't make
list.
The cut.
I liked a band called Mourn, their second album, a lot. That was kind of on the edge. And I don't know if either of you remember the Eleanor Friedberger album from early in the year. I kept coming back to that one and thinking that was...
I remember that.
It had kind of a 70s rock sound to it, but...
Exactly. Yeah, it just kind of sounded the same to me, like all the songs, so I just kind of skipped at them.
Another one that I liked was a sort of a mini album. It was kind of a short thing, but this band called Rolling Blackouts Coastal Fever. I don't know if you guys remember that. They're going to have a full album, I think, this coming year, so I'm really looking forward to it. I think they signed to one of those indie rock... you know, stalwart label, you know, somebody like Matador or Sub Pop or somebody like that. They signed to one of those big ones. So look forward to that one. So anything else you wanted to mention, Nicholas?
Well, look, I like the Teenage Fan Club album. I like the Dinosaur Jr. album. There's an artist from Mali called Rokia Traore, who's sort of it's almost kind of like African jazz. I really like that. But look, the album that like danced in and out of my top 10, and I was like, I always feel like there's going to be one thing that I do that ends up being the thing that gets me kicked off the podcast, and then I was almost like, oh, I kind of want to do it anyway, and I know that Barrett's never going to forgive me, Will probably won't ever talk to me again, and so I was going to do, I've got to be brave, I've got to put it on, and then in the end I didn't even put it on anyway. But let me tell you, so there's this producer, Nigel Godrich, who produces, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've heard that name. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's basically been like the sort of sixth member of Radiohead and produced all their albums and, you know, obviously a huge part of their sound. And he was the engineer on another massive band's album this year, who also start with R. And, you know, I heard about this album and, you know, this band had changed producers. All of their previous albums were produced by Rick Rubin, okay? Then they changed and they had their latest album produced by Danger Mouse, and they kind of went for a bit of a different approach with how they wrote their songs, and it just sounded intriguing. And I listened to it and I was like, I can't believe I actually like the new album by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, man.
I did. Oh. And I was telling all of my friends, and my friends were wanting to disown me. And I'm like, hey, come on, look, in 1992, it was really cool to like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then something happens when a band becomes massively successful and goes completely mainstream. But I think in the end, you got to remember, it's all just music, and you're allowed to like whatever you like. And so I'm absolutely just saying that I really liked the new Red Hot Chili Peppers album, and had some surprising moments on it, really. So, you know, and I was one of those people who absolutely hated them. I used to love them, and then I was like, the music has become terrible. This is, like, unlistenable. But I persisted with their new album, and, it got my vote. So it almost ended up on the top 10. But then I just thought, I'm going to submit this, and I'm going to get an email from Will saying, look, yeah, Nicholas, you have to understand something about what about our standards here. So I didn't do it, but here I'm talking about it anyway. So there you go.
All right, that took a lot of bravery to come out and say that, you know, to admit that, to admit that about yourself. That took courage. So we're proud. All right,
you only get points for that. That's it. Don't bring it up on the podcast again.
Anurag, what's number six?
Yes, my number six is a band called Hope Sandoval and the Warm Inventions. This is a group that has been come up by Mazzy Star's lead singer. Is her name Hope Sandoval?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't remember now. It is? Okay. And she collaborated with one of my favorite bands, bass musician. Her name I can't pronounce. Gorm Osios. I'll give up. My Bloody Valentine's bass.
Oh.
Bass player.
Cool.
And so this album, I've always loved Mazzy Star and My Bloody Valentine, of course. So I was very curious on what they've done. I didn't know that this is the second album that they've come out with.
Right, yeah.
And the sound, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember that there was one a year or two ago. And I've been intrigued by both of them, but I haven't really listened to them that much.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is really, I mean, like, seriously, I was thinking, what's the best way to describe this album? So this is what I've come up with, if you'll indulge me. This is an album that Michelangelo would be listening to while he's sculpting David. That's my standard for this album. It's so good.
Yep. That's good.
So the song that we're going to play is called A Wonderful Seed.
Sandoval and the Warm Inventions. The album is called Until the Hunter, and that's Anurag's number six. But from your description, I mean, it was so dramatic. It seems like it should have been higher than number six, right?
Yeah, so that means number five onwards, it's going to be even better, right?
They just keep on coming. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I just looked up her bio, and this is kind of an interesting thing about her bio. In addition to Mazzy Star, I don't know if you guys remember, she was in a band called Opal. I actually had a CD by Opal, I think, and so they were cool. But also, she's associated on Wikipedia. They list associated acts, and one of them is the Jesus and Mary Chain. That's interesting.
Really?
Yeah, maybe she
that's interesting.
Sang
yeah.
backing vocals for them or something at some point. Speaking of which,
they're coming out.
Yeah,
go ahead.
They're coming out with a new album, and I heard...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I heard the first song that they released, and it sounded really terrible, I thought. So, I don't know. Very skeptical. Do you guys listen to...
I liked it.
Grant and I have this discussion on occasion of, like, when a song comes out from an album that's going to come out in 3 months, how much do you really pay attention to the song? Usually, I just say, well, I'm just going to wait for the album, you know? But sometimes your curiosity gets to you, and you've got to hear it, right?
Yeah. No. I mean, Jesus and Mary is like they're like gods to me. So, See, they can't do anything wrong.
They can for me. I've got a love-hate relationship because I thought they were so cool when they were the really noise rock, and then when they started to get a little too much like poppy, I liked them for a while, and then boy, I don't know. Maybe we can have a good debate when the new album comes out. If we have a podcast, get your pants off. Yeah,
I do love the idea of Michelangelo sculpting David. Well, you listen to that, though. But I guess that probably would have had to come out on cassette because I don't think they had MP3 players back then.
That's right.
I don't think Spotify was around in the...
Nope.
I was going to say the Renaissance. I don't even know if it was the Renaissance.
Yeah, it was the Renaissance.
He would have been...
And it was, yeah.
For sure he'd been listening with his Walkman, right? With the cassette. Yep.
But with those really big headphones, the really big chunky ones.
Those big Koss ones, or they Koss, those ones that were green?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they weighed like five pounds? Yeah. My dad had a pair like that, and I remember like they would just like crush your ears against your head if you listen to them for too long. It would start to hurt because it's like there's just so massive. All right. Nicholas, number six.
Number six. Hey, we're going to get back into another album that you will introduce me to. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Matt Kivel. I knew nothing about him. Listened to some of it. Loved it. There was something about the drums on this album. Kind of sounds like he's using a drum machine, partly. It's a bit hard to tell. He's kind of got these sort of monotonous kind of but minimal, slow-paced sort of drum parts. Sound like they've just been sort of set up on some sort of retro drum machine or something. It's a bit hard to tell, but I really liked it. It's an album. It's got 26 tracks on it. I'm sure I've never listened to the whole thing from start to finish, but I kind of like that there's lots of tracks. You can never really orientate yourself within the album. It just sort of keeps going, but it's just got a beautiful kind of dreamy quality to it, and I just really like the atmosphere that this album created. The album's called Fires on the Plain, and this song is named after the three of us, rock gods.
Matt Kivel, Fires on the Plain. Nicholas's
that was really nice.
Number six. Yeah, that's a good album. Like I think I mentioned at the time, because it's so long, it's really, I mean, I think I'm in the same camp as Nicholas. I probably never listened to the whole thing from beginning to end all the way through because it's just so long. But it has so many good moments in it, right? And there's a pretty good variety, too.
Yeah.
And very good, just good bedroom pop album. Like, he's really good. Like, I think he's mastered, the whole recording process really well, so that the whole thing just has a great sound.
I feel like I don't have much more to say about it, but except that I really liked it. So that's it.
Sounds good. All right. Okay, now
Nicholas
we're
at loss for words.
That's loss for words. That's the first. Yeah, that's the one and only time it's happened this whole year.
Right. So we're up to the top five now, and it's time for Anurag to carry the torch for an entire nation, right?
Yes. I read somewhere in a very perverse way, we have to thank the business manager of Leonard Cohen because he swindled all the money out of Leonard's accounts, and he was forced to make music at, 5-10 years ago. He started to make music because he had a lot of debts. And in the last two albums that he made, his son also had a huge influence on the kind of album that he should make. And he's made these stripped down versions of just please bear with me. Because Leonard Cohen used to like synths a lot. And I'm glad that his son kind of forced him to tone it down and forced him to get other writers to, write songs with him. And he produced, I think, the best album of his career, You Want It Darker. And I struggled with all the songs as to which one to choose because each song kind of represents, a lot of things. Like they have love songs, religious songs, spiritual songs. And there's songs that are kind of like, like the song Treaty. It's just like, oh man, it's so beautiful. But the one I really want everybody to listen to, if you haven't heard this album before, is the title song, You Want It Darker. Chills whenever I listen to his voice. I'm gonna miss this guy.
82 years old, died this year. David Bowie wasn't as old, but similar situation. They release an album, critically acclaimed album, and then die. It's kind of bittersweet, right?
It's been a tough year for musicians, right?
Yeah,
lost a lot of good ones. Like the one that shocked me the most. I'm sorry, Nicholas.
No, go on.
The one that shocked me the most was Prince, of course. That was hard.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That one was unexpected.
Unexpected, yeah.
With Leonard Cohen, is it right that he sort of knew he was dying when he wrote or made the album? Is that right?
I don't think so. But I think I read somewhere that his son's interview that they kind of knew that this was his last record, not that he was going to die, but they knew this was the last.
Right. I mean, because when there's in that clip that we just heard, there's that line where he says, "I'm ready, my lord."
Yeah, exactly.
And to me, it's exactly. Like, oh man, that's a man, and who knows? He's at the end of his life, and isn't this amazing to have this in this incredible song? Gives it such weight. So
excellent.
Incredible, really.
All right, Leonard Cohen.
Leonard Cohen.
Nicholas.
So we're gonna move from the space between life and death, and we're gonna step right onto the dance floor. Are you guys ready to come with
yeah.
me?
Yeah. Yes. I'm ready.
Absolutely. Sure.
Guys, there's actually two artists on my list who in fact featured on my top 10 last year. This next guy is a really young Melbourne music producer called Amateur Dance. That's his artist name, Amateur Dance. He's only in his early 20s, and he puts out, I don't know enough about electronic music to know what genre this is. I think they call it Deep House. So if you're into Deep House, you got to check out Amateur Dance. So, like a lot of the music I like, I really like this just because of the atmosphere that he creates. It's kind of minimal, and his sort of trademark seems to be finding these little clips of dialogue, or you know, little audio clips of people talking about stuff, and he just sort of chops them up and just drops them into his tracks. And it always makes it a little bit intriguing, a little bit mysterious. But yeah, I just really like the vibe of his music, and he put out an EP in the last couple of months called Love System. So let's hear the first track called Dream Hack.
Fourth Bedroom Studios is vibrating to the beat.
Well, I said we'd step onto the dance floor. It doesn't actually make me want to dance, but his music, and so we're talking about Amateur Dance. His actual name is Joseph Cookson, and I always just feel like the music kind of like wraps itself around me, and you're just kind of immersed in this sort of world that he creates, and I really love kind of being in that real world, and it always makes me feel like gives me extra power to do anything I want. And even if that's just like stapling pieces of paper together, or if it's, you know, getting your dirty washing and putting it into a basket, or, you know, driving your car down the road, whatever it is, it's sort of like this music's going to help you to do whatever it is that you're doing in the middle of your day. Am I making any sense? I feel like I'm just kind of like...
Yeah, I get the impression you walk around the house quite a lot, huh?
Sounds like that, doesn't it?
He needs a soundtrack.
I do plenty of things, but I do find that I'm often doing bits and pieces around the house. And I guess I find that that's a time when I'm often listening to music as well.
Yep, very good. That's a good one. Amateur Dance.
Yeah.
All right, we're up Amateur to Anurag's dance. Number four.
My number four is also on Nicholas's list, so I won't really talk much about this because I know Nicholas will do better justice to this album.
You go, do it.
All right, I'll just add that I'm always in awe of these young musicians who come in and drop these truth bombs with the music to match, and it just blows me away. And that's what this lady, Lucy Dacus, is that how you pronounce it, Will?
I'm thinking it's Dacus, but I'm not positive.
Dacus. Okay. All right. And her album is No Burden. And the song that I've chosen is called Troublemaker Doppelganger.
Lucy Dacus.
I love that voice. Yeah.
From Richmond, Virginia. And she's Anorak's number four pick. No Burden is the album. And
yes.
Maybe Nicholas will have some comments about that too. But in the meantime...
Well, yep. Anorak, I'm talking over you again. I've got a real knack of it, haven't I? Just as you're about to say something really interesting, Will, I just kind of start just blabbing on blah, blah, blah.
No, I had nothing.
You're about to say something.
No, it wasn't interesting at all.
Well, Anurag, I love how you put that. A young lady, a young artist who what do you say, drops truth bombs.
Yeah.
Her music. Oh, I think you've summed it up perfectly. It's a great album. I like, it's sort of one of these albums that I like. I kind of liked everything about it. So I loved her voice. I love the band, you know, some great guitar playing, some great drumming. It was produced in Nashville.
I just read today that this is the first time she played with a band. She's never played with a band before. Wow.
Yeah. I think she had a couple of friends who basically helped her produce the album.
Wow.
And they went to Nashville and the producers kind of like basically sort of put a band together to learn the songs and kind of record them. But yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, that because you listen to it and it doesn't sound sort of thrown together, or it doesn't sound, you know, sometimes those albums can sound a bit too slick, you know, like the
like the
players are session musos and they can just play anything that's put in front of them, but they sound great, you know. It all sounds very, very sort of meshed, you know, enmeshed. And And the songs and the music and the production all kind of go together beautifully. But great lyrics as well. I'm not particularly a lyrics guy. I often don't listen to lyrics at all. But as I said, I like how you describe her music as dropping truth bombs, because a lot of her lyrics really struck me as awesome, and it is. It's
such
like,
so young. Person, then,
exactly.
Yeah, 21 years old. Wow.
So really cool. So we've obviously got, you've got great taste. I've got great taste. You had her at number, you had her at number four. I had her at number three. So we're going to go straight into another track by Lucy Dacus from her album No Burden. I picked the song Strange Torpedo.
You got yourself a bunch of bad habits. Not hard to see that love is a weakness. Seems to me the way you understand it is that you're never gonna make it happen. I get smoke in my eyes every time I try to look you in the eye. And do I
Her sound, her voice is a lot like Erika Wennerstrom from Heartless Bastards.
Oh, right.
I've been a big fan of, yeah. So always reminds me of her.
That's a good comparison. So that's Lucy Dacus, number 4 on Anurag's list, number 3 on Nicholas's list. But you know what that means? We skipped Nicholas's number 4. So you got to go back and... You can't,
oh, no.
You can't forget your number 4.
I messed it all up.
Well,
that's okay.
Oh,
go ahead.
The whole thing's just falling apart. Oh, my God. doesn't really matter. We're just, because we're so rock and roll, we're just going to go with it.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're like, you know, a member of the, if you're like in the Ramones, like, maybe I'll be Larry Ramone. Who do you guys want to be? Someone's got to be Trevor Ramone. And who's the other guy? Billy Ramone. Yeah. So we're all in the Ramones, and we're about to play, you know, song 12.
Yeah.
And one of us goes to song 13. You know, we go to Sheena is a punk rocker instead of the KKK took my baby away. But you just go with it anyway, don't you?
Sure. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. You just start rocking. That's
Another swig of your Coors beer from the white beer can, and you just, you know, you pull your pants down a little bit further, and you know, you keep jamming.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
Yep.
So we'll just go. So what are we supposed to do now? I don't even know what we're supposed to do.
You're going
to
tell us about
go ahead
number
with your number 4.
Yeah.
So you'll do your number 4.
Anurag did his number 4. That was Lucy Dacus. Then you did your number 3, which was Lucy Dacus. So now we're going back to Nicholas's number 4. Because that's the only number 4 we've got left now.
Yeah, that sounds so good. So this next track, I'm going to call it the riff of the year. Okay, everyone knows I play guitar. I love guitar riffs. We're about to hear a band that doesn't even have guitars in them. And this riff is so awesome. It gets my tick for riff of the year. Thank you to Will and Will's Band of the Week for, again, introducing me to this band. All the way from Sweden, the Radio Department, their album Running Out of Love. I never thought that I'd like an album that reminded me of the Pet Shop Boys, but there's something about the water in Sweden that makes it all right. So let's hear this track, as I said, riff of the year. Turn it up, everybody. Wind down your car windows. This track is Swedish Guns.
Radio Department, Swedish Guns. Okay, I'm going to venture a speculative thing here. That sounds to me like that's made by a keyboard rather than a guitar. But you can't really tell.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
It sounds like a keyboard put through guitar pedals, right? And distortion. Yeah. So however they do it, it
totally.
Sounds cool. It sounds really cool, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Who needs guitars when you're from Sweden?
You can make your guitar riffs with a keyboard. Yeah, don't they play guitars live, though? I think I saw a clip of them, right? And they've got all these recordings that have all these synthesizers and keyboards, but I think they play like a a soundtrack and then they play guitars over it when they play live.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Don't ever get the idea that I actually know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about bands. So you're absolutely right. They probably play guitars and they've just got their keyboards on a recording in the background. I think I'm losing it a little bit here, Will. I haven't even started drinking, and I don't even drink. All I've had is a cup of coffee, and we've still got a few tracks to go. So
yeah,
it's going to be a rough end of the podcast.
It's hard work, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
I'm just trying to keep it together here, guys.
Yeah.
Anurag, you got to keep this. You got to keep this boat on the water.
All right, okay, then we'll go straight to my number three.
Yep.
This is Radiohead, of course, Moon-Shaped Pool. It's very difficult to kind of rate Radiohead, right? They're like an institution. I'm still waiting for an album that I would say, okay, Radiohead album, yeah, it's no big deal. Each album that they come out with is just a masterpiece, and this one, I think with their age and everything, this is like the perfect album they've come out with. And it's just, everybody said what they wanted to say about Radiohead, so I can't really add more, except let's go and listen to Desert Island Disc.
Radiohead. Yeah, I was telling Chris that I took them for granted. Probably shouldn't have. Definitely a solid album.
Like the lyrics that he was singing just before you closed it, it was across the street to another life, through an open doorway across the street to another life. It's, oh my God, how can they come up with this after 8-9 albums? It's just astounding. Beautiful album.
They certainly don't oversaturate the market, right? They only put out an album when they really want to put out an album. So they go like 3 years between albums. So you gotta give them credit for that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then can you believe that the producer of that also worked on the latest Red Hot Chili Peppers album? There you go. I wonder if Nigel wandered into the studio, while he was making it through the Radiohead, saying, "Oh yeah. Hello, boys. How are you? I've just come from LA, where I've been hanging out with Flea and Anthony Kiedis, tracking their new album." Maybe he didn't even mention it.
Right. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Maybe Radiohead doesn't hate Red Hot Chili Peppers as much as we do, right?
That's it.
And what a great year for Nigel Godrick,
their
producer. He would have had basically probably two number one albums under his belt in the 1 year.
Yeah, not bad. All right.
Not bad.
So, I guess we reversed the order, so now Nicholas gets to go first for the last two picks.
Yep.
So,
I will, but it kind of means, Anurag, in doing this, it means that you're going to have the final say when we get to number right. one, because I'm going to do my number one. Then you get to cap it off with your number one. Yep. So hopefully that's okay. Anyway, we're going to go to a guy called Chris Staples now, who was my number two. And again, he was one of the two artists who also featured in my top 10 last year. He kind of snuck in last year because he kind of released an EP that was basically some tracks that were ended up on this album that he put out this year called Golden Age. And look, again, I don't know how much I don't know what to say about this guy other than the fact that I just really like his music. Just a great combination of you know, the songwriting. I really like the way he plays guitar. I really like the way he produces his albums. But just a great, great album, Golden Age. And this is a beautiful track with some awesome lyrics. And as listeners may know, my partner Finley and I are about to have our second child. He's going to probably be born within the week. So you can think about that when we're hearing these the first few lyrics in this track. It's pretty cool because it sounds like Chris is talking about his own birth and this track called Cheap Shades.
Chris Staples. Yeah, it's a really good one. He's a quality
guy. Yeah, that was beautiful.
There's so many, you know, overused cliches, but I'll just use this one again. Underrated, right? He's underrated. Chris Staples is really good. So people, you need to listen to him.
I think we were talking last time when we were reviewing the whole album how he's given up his job as a, what is he, like a cabinet maker or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
Carpenter. Yeah. So yeah, he wields a hammer as well as a guitar. But happy for him to put down his hammer and pick up the guitar a little bit more often.
Yeah, very cool. Very good. All right, Anurag. Anurag's going with the indie rock hits now. He's pulling out all the stops. Number two.
Number two is Mitski, Puberty 2. And I think Barrett had her on as number one, right?
Right, yep.
Yeah. Oh, I just checked. Yep, he put it as number one. And I picked this record mostly because of what Barrett said too, that the record is amazing, of course. And her voice and the music, it's just too good. But it's the behind the scenes when she kind of spoke about her upbringing. Like I think she was moving around quite a lot. I think almost like 10, I don't know, 15 countries. That's how many countries she's moved to. And the record is mostly about her, you know, struggling to be a Japanese and American girl and her bringing up and her thoughts on alienation in the country. And so that the way she's put it, much better than I have, the way she's put it is so beautiful. And then when you go back to listen to this album, it kind of makes sense. And you said, oh, yeah, this is what she said here. Oh, yeah, this is what she said there. So that's why this album has stayed with me, so much so that my daughter also likes this album. And she's all into pop music, but she likes Mitski. So
that's great.
Let's play the song. Yeah, I know, my daughter. That's the seal of approval I want.
Yeah.
And the song that we are going to play is My Body's Made of Crushed Little Stars. Even when she's screaming, it's so amazing. The music and the lyrics that she's... I pick an age when I'm going to disappear. Until then, I can try again. Holy cow. Amazing stuff here.
It's got a really interesting production to it, too, I think. Although that song, I kept wanting drums to come in. Like, just turn it over to the drummer and let him rock out. Cool. Good sound. No, it's a good one.
I think it works without the drums. Yeah, I'm glad that it's done this way and not Will's way.
Okay. We'll give it to you. I'm wrong.
Yep. So Puberty 2, Mitski, my number 2 pick.
Awesome. Awesome. And there's a great episode of Song Exploder, the podcast that Chris from this podcast put me onto a year or two ago, where artists kind of break down certain tracks. Yeah. But There's a great episode that features Mitski talking about that
your best American being, girl.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah, so you get a real.
Yeah, insight. I heard that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. So my number 2.
I can't run down and do the drum roll again this time. So just imagine the drum roll.
Hey, I can actually do it. Can I have the honor?
Yeah. Do you have a drum set there? Yeah, that would be cool.
I do. You ready? Hang on. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh man, your drum roll was nice. So much better than mine. Oh my god, I just got totally destroyed. Man, oh man, that was great. All right, well.
Hey, look, it's amazing what a cup of coffee in the morning does. Yeah. You're drumming.
Yeah.
I'm all fired up now. I should do that. I should carry a drum set around with me all day.
Yeah.
So,
okay. What's number one?
Every now and then, a band comes along that you've never heard of before. You know, you've got some sort of like app on your phone that just streams music from the internet, and you know, you push another button and suddenly you're taken to this app recommends you listen to this band, and you know, sometimes you like them, sometimes you don't, and then sometimes you come across a band from Nashville, Tennessee that look like they've woken up in the same clothes that they were wearing the day before. And they're younger than you, they're cooler than you, they drink more beer and smoke more cigarettes than you, and they make this music that is so great that you just want to jump up and down and tell the whole world about it. And I'm telling the whole world right now about this great band called Natural Child. So I think that I discovered this band because they at one point were on the same label as Ty Segall, you know, and I love a bit of fuzz rock every now and then. But, you know, then you listen to this band, they don't sound anything like Ty Segall. And I love your comment that you emailed to me during the week, Will, when you listen to this band, they made you think of the Allman Brothers.
Right. Yeah,
I feel like they're a this band is, you know, they remind me of a band like Dr. Hook. Do anyone remember Dr. Hook from the late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah,
absolutely.
When it's kind of like terrible bands that used to be popular, yeah. And get played on AM radio all the time. And so I don't know why, I don't even know why I like this band, but I think the reason that I like this band is because A, they're not Dr. Hook, B, they're fun, and, you know, this new album, you know when you discover a band and you've heard a couple of their albums and you might have a favourite album of theirs and then they bring out a new album and you kind of get excited, but often it's sort of like, yeah, it's kind of all right, but I kind of still like that album from two albums ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they came out with this new album and it's like, oh man, this is so good, this is great, it's so life affirming, isn't it, when a great band bring out a new album and it's a great album. Isn't that just such a great moment when that happens?
Yeah, that's great. Like, yeah. I was looking at somebody's list of, like, you know, 100 albums to look forward to next year, and I was looking at all these bands that, you know, have, you know, of those 100, there are probably 20 or 25 bands that I have liked albums of theirs in the past, but I kept thinking, so many of them are going to be disappointments, right? So, mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm. But when one hits it really, really well, it's going to be just like, wow, this is great.
Yeah. So this album is definitely the album I feel like I've listened to the most, got the most pleasure from. So I thank you, Natural Child. Their album is called Okie Dokie. And, you know, it takes a special skill to write lyrics that are funny. And that aren't sort of so sort of stupid that you kind of don't want to listen to it more than once. But for there to be a band who rocks and is funny at the same time, I think that's great. So there should be more fun in music, and Natural Child are serving it up. So let's have a listen to this great track from my number one album, the band Natural Child, from their album Okie Dokie. This song is called Transcendental Meditation.
Okay, I thought of something else it sounds like. You know what it really sounds like? Is Lynyrd Skynyrd. It sounds like the song Give Me Three Steps, right? Is that the song?
I was going to say CCR.
CCR? Yeah, it could be a little of that too.
Yeah, all that. I mean, totally Rolling Stones at times.
Yep, yep.
But for me, you know, in the end, it's just rock and roll. But rock and roll in the true sense of the term rock and roll. And it's just great to have a band who are a current band putting out new albums, and it's rock and roll. Plain and simple, and I like it. Like it a lot.
Natural Child. All right.
Excellent.
That was a awesome list. But we'll compliment you more on your lists when we've completed both of them. And now it's time for Anurag to get the last word in.
Yep, and thank you for that mix-up, Nicholas. So the album that I have chosen as the best album of 2016 is by a band called Car Seat Headrest. The album is called Teens of Denial. And I came across this album, I think, again from an NPR podcast. And they played the song called Vincent. It's like a 7 or 8 minute song with the first 3 minutes just a riff on the guitar and a build up at the background. And it just captivated me, the song. And I was waiting for the album to be released. And then I went back to listen to two of his previous albums. And they it was just so good. And I find out that this 22 or 23 year old has released 10 albums. This is his 10th album. And he's been churning out these albums. The frontman is Will Toledo, and he's from Virginia. I don't know if he's staying there or not anymore.
I think he's in Seattle now.
Sorry?
I think he moved to Seattle.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, and he's basically, the fact that I liked about this was, first of all, it's a rock album. And these days, when the rock albums come out by these youngsters, mostly, except for Lucy and Will Toledo, are mostly, you know, very angst, very antisocial, I hate this, I don't like this, everything sucks. But this album it's kind of like a more general observation of life itself, you know, with its ups and downs. Like the song that we are going to play, Drunk Driver's Killer Whales, is essentially a song about this guy's feelings after a party. Like, he's down in the dumps and he's just talking about it, like what he's feeling. And so it's just amazing. And in fact, I would say I've read it too. He sounds a lot like Stephen Malkmus and like Robert Pollard. Those are the people that he's kind of like aiming to be, that I think. And just amazing album. And another thing that I've just noticed is also that the songs are not only one song. They're always like a blend of 3 or 4 songs. Even the song Drunk Drivers, Killer Whales. Drunk Drivers is a song about what happens after a party. Killer Whales is a song that he's picked up after watching that movie Blackfish, in which it's a documentary, which, you know, it was an undercover documentary about, what's this theme park? Well, in America, in Florida. SeaWorld.
SeaWorld, right.
SeaWorld.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's actually 2 songs, and I've loved this album. It's a very long album, so you got to give it a little patience. And so go ahead, Will. Drunk Drivers, Killer Whales from Car Seat Headrest.
In the back seat of my heart, my love tells me I'm a mess. I couldn't get the car to start. Left my keys somewhere in the mess.
It comes and goes in plateaus. 1 month later, I'm a fucking pro. My parents would be proud. On the floor, forget what happened in the morning. There are notes in your handwriting, but you can't make it out. We are not a proud race. It's not a race at all. We're just trying. I'm only trying to get home. Drunk drivers, drunk drivers. This is not a good thing. I don't mean to rationalize or try and explain it away. It's not okay, drunk drivers, drunk drivers. It's too late to articulate it, an empty feeling. You share the same fate as the people you paint. You built yourself up against others' feelings and
I thought I might be able to get up to that chorus part, but it's too long.
It's too long. I was thinking about that.
Yeah, but he has so many changes in the middle of his songs, and it'll turn into sort of a exactly. completely different song. Another sort of a parallel, I think that he's kind of like Lucy Dacus in the sense that he recorded a lot of stuff on his own, and then it didn't have a band, and then he had to put together a band. And so yeah. It's interesting because he had all these bedroom recordings, like you said, like 10 albums. And then, he sort of one of them kind of just broke him into the, in at least some level of popularity. And they're like, well, we got to find you a band now. So
exactly.
Somehow he and now he's been playing with the same band now, I think, for a couple of years, and they've gotten really good. So it's cool.
Yeah.
Good story. Car Seat Headrest. Well,
excellent.
That's it. You guys
really
have declared.
Cool. Yep, and they're actually Car Seat Headrest are actually coming out to Australia. They'll be here in about a month.
Oh, nice.
End of January, they're playing in Melbourne. Not sure if I'm going to get there, but good to know that. Yeah, that's his. Popularity is taking him all over the world now. So it's good.
Right.
It's good, isn't
right.
it?
Yeah, I was thinking.
Well, obviously, really getting into him.
The thought of you taking a newborn baby to his first rock show is kind of interesting. Might not be good for the hearing development, right? At that age.
Yeah.
Yeah. You little baby earplugs. Wow. All right. Well, that's very cool. I think I'm going to declare it was greater than $0 worth.
Absolutely.
I think this is maybe my third top 10 that I've done. I feel like I kind of know what I'm doing now.
All right.
And I feel like we've all kind of really hit our stride this year.
Yeah.
I'm taking some liberties in speaking for everybody, but I feel like we've got it together. We're like kicking some major goals. So, I think the first year I kind of had this mishmash of old and new music. Maybe I've done four of these now. I can't even remember.
Boy,
There was a year where I felt like all my choices were just a combination of everyone else's choices, and we're all just kind of doing our own thing, and it's great.
Yep, very cool, very good. Well, thanks, you guys. It's been a good year or so, but
Thank you.
We expect an even better list from Nicholas next year, because we can just tell he's just developing. He'll be so professional, he'll get hired by NPR or something after next year.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, they'll have to pay me more than you're paying me, and I'm not sure that they can afford that. And looking back on my list, there's probably six of these bands, Will, have all been basically introduced one way or another through your podcast. So
very good.
I guess to me that just indicates how much value I get out of even just listening to your podcast and being being associated and being a correspondent is I've said it before and I'll say it again, it's just it's a privilege and a pleasure. So all I can say is thank you.
Well, thank you.
Well put. Yep.
All right, it's been good. So it's cool that we got you guys, two guys together too.
So much
fun.
You,
yeah,
Nicholas.
We're hoping.
It's good, it's good to meet you on air. And
exactly.
With our new New York correspondent David, we're going to get him into the fold a little bit more, Will. And then then we're just like taking over the world.
Right. Yeah, it's just going to be pretty much. That's just eventually going to happen. Yep. So
and then there's going to be the live show where we're all on stage, sitting around together, drinking coffees, and and podcasting. It's gonna, there's going to be T-shirts with our faces on them. It's going to be incredible.
And don't forget, don't forget groupies. Okay.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of those too. It's going to be hard to keep them away. Yeah.
So, we don't have to tell our wives that thing, of course.
All right, we're gonna keep.
We can just be each other's groupies.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much That's obviously we're gonna do that. So be our own biggest fans. Yep. All right. Better sign off. I get to edit this one. You know, it's gonna be fun as usual.
Oh
yeah.
Good luck.
You got a big job on your hands. Luckily, luckily, as the CEO of the company, will you get the biggest paycheck?
Right, that's true. That's true. Yep, all right. I think we ought to sign off then, but thanks again. It's been a good 2016. Look forward to more great stuff in 2017 from everybody. So we'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.